for happy rebirth, captive children Rinpoche, all those killed by natural man-made disasters. For the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Bernard Baranski, mother of Brittany Nicole, Timothy Powell, Jeffrey Williams, Callie the squirrel, Lily the goat. Job search. Roseanne Barona, Mike Brown, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Pooja Shah, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kyabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venmo Thich Nhat Hanh, Geshet Paldin Sangpo, Venmo Gelton, Venmo Tsirkye Lhamo. All those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Family of Bernard Baranski, Jim Barnes, Lucy Narcisse Barona, Narcisse Barona Sr., Yuki Burrows, Ken Castello, Kitty Kauda, Pam DeLacy, Ellie Davis, Dimitri and Suzanne Diamondopoulos, Tashi Droma, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Harold, Christina Harrison, Keith Harmon, Frank Holt, Sam Jackenthal, Kenny Jackson Buddy, Dell and Sue Johnston, Barry Judge, Helen Kasanoff, Rachel Keith, Nina Kowalski, Jonathan Kramer, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Kim Lillick, Mary Lojek, Pat Long, Ina Lovelace, R.M., Carolyn and Granger Marley, Wilbert Martin, Elvia, Mejia and family, Bruce Miller, Antonio Moore Jr., Audrey Murphy, Evan Myrtle and family, Joseph Palermo, Jay Pandya, family of Timothy Powell, Renee Reyna, Ann Rivers, Ralph Rumley, Joanne Cease, Pooja Shaw, Allison Sheely, Jamie Sheridan, Patty Sheriff, Ronnie Schumann, Andre Smith, Emily Smith, Sarah Bumgardner Snotherly, Nancy Sorbet, Carol Struther, Adnan Tokum, Lobsam Tupten, Francis Ullman, Dion Washington, Joe Carroll Wilson, Shea Wokowicki, Marguerite Young, Koki the Cat, Dorja and Kajo the Pig, Sammy the Cat, Suki the Cat. Good morning. Morning. My name is Lhamo. In a few minutes, Geshe will be coming through the door. And if you've never been here, just wanted to let you know, he'll do some prostrations, and you're welcome to do them along with him, or just remain standing if you feel uncomfortable about doing prostrations. Perfectly fine. And then we'll say some prayers in the gold prayer book, and I'll tell you what pages they are. And Geshe has recommended, encouraged us to walk around the stupa clockwise. We accumulate tremendous merit just by doing that because of the power of the holy object. There are many, many Dharmakaya relics, primary relics inside the actual stupa. And also to turn the prayer wheels to and from, going to the stupa. There are many mani mantras, chin raising mantras, om mani padme hum, just like they look like this prayer wheel on Geshe's desk. And whenever we turn them, we get the same merit as saying each one of those prayers that are listed on paper inside the prayer wheel. If you have cell phones, if you please put them on mute or turn them off. We will be streaming. So if Geshe welcomes us to ask questions or say things, please wait for the handheld mic because there are people watching and they want to be part of the classroom experience. So these offerings are from the Tower practice that we had last night. They are an offering to the Green Tower and her emanations. So that's why we have seven sets of 21 sets of seven bowls on here. Let's see. And we'll be taking them down after the second session. Is that it? Is that everything? Okay. All right. In the gold prayer book, would you please turn to page 183. three. And then towards the bottom, you see a mantra between two lines. So we'll chant the Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Maha Munaye Soha. Now, if you please turn to page 34. And we'll read the four immeasurables in English out loud one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37. And then towards the bottom you see the four immeasurables chanting version. So we'll chant that once. Sen chen ta che de wa dong de we yu dong den far ju. Chenrezig's mantra underneath that four measurables eight times, and then below that Green Tower's mantra seven times. And while thinking of the names on the prayer list I just read earlier, Om Mani Padme Hum. Taritu taritu re soha. Om 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 taritu taritu re soha.
Good morning. Cold morning. Change now. Summer's finished. Winter starting. today again. So last Sunday, Sunday before last. Yeah, so we discuss here. from my side, you know, there's interest to know how you define, you know, self-compassion, self-compassion, not confession, compassion, self-compassion. So, this is new term for me. So I was also, you know, I have also interest to hear from you. So, how you define self-compassion and what is required to develop self-compassion? What is required to develop self-compassion? What is self-compassion? Well, no need to talk about why it's important, but you know, everybody knows why it's important. But what is self-compassion and what it is required to develop? How to develop self-compassion and what it requires, you know? Faith or some like understanding or knowledge? I was very interested to hear from you. So Sunday before last, we discussed it, you know, we have good discussions, you know, in the morning class, then after that, there's another sessions, you know, now Sunday, there's two classes back to back. So then we have discussions, so then I share whatever you contributed, early class, then I share with the second class, then whatever the contribution, the second class, then I just keep myself and think, try to think a little bit, So that's what you're going to do. So after maybe meditation, okay, after meditation, that's what you're going to do, to divide the small group. So then before we do that, please, would you mind take 1 minute to introduce yourself to each other out of, you know, like, compassion, loving kindness, okay? Thank you. So, see, healthy life, no, healthy life. That requires healthy body and healthy mind. So American, you know, you are expert, you know, when it comes down to healthy body, you know, so you are expert. So you have so many tools, so many resources, you know. You know the best. So knowing best doesn't mean the best. Means implement. You, me, everybody, you know. So if we need healthy body, what we need to do, eat well, eat healthy, you know, need exercise. It's all require effort, you know. Even exercise is very beneficial, but it requires effort. No effort, there'll be no exercise, you know. So that's how we take care of our body, you know. So so being mindful, so then exercise. So then there's a way to eliminate any difficulties that, you know, related to the physical body, you know, so see doctors and so on and so forth. Same times, there's another type of problems that related to the mind, you know, much, much heavier, much, much heavier, much more complex, much more complicated to eliminate it, to eliminate. So, the problem that's created by mind needs to solve through mind, you know, through mind. For example, if there's hot water, if the water is very hot, if you want to make it cold, you can just sit there and say some prayer and hope this water is going to get cold. It's not going to get cold. How that's going to get cold? If you pour more cold water, so there's no, like, how you say, what do you call, like, these two, hot and cold, are hot and cold cannot coexist. That's nature, that's nature. Similarly here, disturbing thought, you know, that's what, disturbing thought, that's the one, you know, that creates mental, you know, difficulties, you know, that's hard to solve, Everybody, you, me, everybody, you know, there's like, something's missing, that's the nature of samsara. It's not complete. Doesn't mean it's negative. Doesn't mean it's like imperfect. It does not mean that. It's like just nature of samsara, you know. So samsara is like full of complications. Everything, you know, comes with the complications. That's the nature of samsara. So we will face that, and we accept that, then we deal with that, then we overcome. So meditation, you know, meditation is not to improve your physical health, it's to improve your thought, it's to develop your thought. So when you develop thought, what do you mean develop thought? That means to think something positive. That's the only way to eliminate, you know, this disturbing thought. Is the only way to eliminate is to generate positive thought. So in that, then therefore, meditation become, you know, important. You know, it's not just important; it's necessary to minimize the problem that related to the mind. So we have to think. No, meditation does not mean you just sit there and think nothing. No, that's not meditation. Meditation means that we think something, you know, we make something that we are not familiar now, and we put effort, and we try to make it familiar, you know. We try to guide our mind to think certain way to eliminate, to reduce disturbing thought. Disturbing thought will not just go away simply saying some prayer and having some faith or belief. That's not how the disturbing thought will go away. The disturbing thought will only, you can eliminate or minimize by thinking something positive. Thinking something positive. So that's why gom, meditation, Tibetan word gom, means, you know, making, you know, guiding our mind in certain directions. So, educating our mind to, you know, certain thought, what do you call thought? Pattern? Thought pattern. So, see, okay? So, gomdob nimo chungas. So, purpose. This is very, very important. Purpose or power of meditation is to reduce, to minimize disturbing thought. So, then whatever meditations that you do, walking, sitting, could be riding a bike, could be, you know, taking long walk in the wood, could be, you know, sculpting. Doesn't have to say some prayer, you know. Can be anything. Can be climbing Rocky Mountain in Colorado. Can be so many things. It all comes down on mind. It all comes on mind. Mm. So interested, like, say, I did ask, there's a number of people from the centers, they go to Colorado to climb Rocky Mountain. I asked them, why you go, So if somebody paid me $200 to go, I probably would think twice. I have no interest. Well, doesn't mean it's not something, negative, but I ask, so they say, because you can't just, wander. You can't climb the mountains with wander mind. You have to focus. Because that's like death and life. You can just not think, just like. So see, that's the, when you concentrate, when we concentrate, so you will enjoy calm mind, peaceful mind. It's not like news, That's what's going to happen when you concentrate, There's a way to stop out of thought. When you concentrate, that means you are thinking deep, thinking just something, just rather than thinking 100 different things, you are thinking one thing, So that's some people say, sculpture is like, meditations. Back in the monastery, people laugh if you say, sculpture is a meditation. People don't think there's meditations. But when you really think from the practice of concentration, it is form of meditation, because you concentrate, otherwise you ruin, the hard rock. You have to concentrate, So this all helps. So here, Gomdok Nimochoma, power of meditations, the purpose of meditations to reduce or liberate yourself from disturbing thought. That is the purpose of meditations. See, Gomdok Nimochoma, Chudob Shishidwa, reading spiritual materials. That's like, purpose of that is not supposed to be to make your mind calm and peaceful. More you read about spiritual, the more you become calm and peaceful. So that means it's working. More you read about spiritual, more you become arrogant, angry. So then, it's like completely waste of time. More you meditate, more you generate disturbing thought, then there's completely waste of time, not doing any good. So, with that understanding in our minds, so when you meditate, so then it will definitely very, very beneficial, okay? Beneficials. So, there are like review meditations. That means if you have some material to review, it's not that easy to guide your mind to think something, So then people heavily rely on some materials. So they memorize. See? And they sit. Then they go through the materials, So they are thinking something, and that mind is going through something. That's called review meditations, For a beginner, it's very, very helpful. Because we have this habit of thinking something positive is like hard as pushing a donkey on the hill or maybe a piece of rock. Thinking something negative is like pouring the water from the hill. Doesn't require any effort. When immediately you pour, you just go around, just go. So, therefore, people, rely on some materials that they review, can be like how long you can sit there is very much depend on the size of the materials that you review. That's one way to do. So, then, concentration meditations. Analytical meditations. Why things change, So, then analytical meditations based on different topic, impermanent, precious human life, samsara, emptiness, you know, different topics. Then you think about that, then you brainstorm. That's called analytical meditation. So you are welcome to do any form of meditation, okay? Any form of meditation. Next 5 minutes. So we are going to meditate. So I refuse to say silent meditations. Meditation should not be silent, no? Meditation means very active mind. Mind becomes very active, not like the positive, very active means, you know, your mind is engaging in something. No? Then silent come later. Silent come is the result. Is not the initial stage. Silent is the result. Is the result. Stillness. What do you call it? Stillness. Silent. All of that. We will reach there, but we have to begin with, you know, to think something. You know? So you are welcome to do review meditation, analytical meditations, and concentration meditations. You can concentrate on your breath, in and out, or you can, you know, just concentrate on your feeling, physical sensations. Lu tempanisha means placing all your mental attention on physical, then sensations, that's part more like feeling. Placing all your attention on physical, you know, then the feeling or sensations, you know, then your own breath in and out. Then if you have some material to review, then you can, you know, review that. Okay? Next 5 minutes. So each time, we think something positive, and that is meditation. Believe or not, whether you are sitting like this or not, each time you think something positive. So then now, ask yourself questions, you know. How often we think positive? How often? Every day. How often we think positive? No, not just say positive. I'm not talking about to read or how often we think something positive. How often we think something positive? How often we think every day? So that's, you know, important, you know. How often we think about something positive? While we are eating, while we are showering, while we are shopping, while we are driving, how often we think something positive? So when it's coming down on mental development, there's no limit. So we can make our mind to think something positive that we can do. It's not something that we cannot do. There's something we can do. So then the length of meditations, you know, for beginner should be short, okay? Short sessions, you know, than many. For beginner, short. That's the skillful way to do meditation. Short, many sessions, you know, many sessions. Short here and there like that. Like the bird eating food. The bird doesn't eat much, they eat a little bit here, they eat all day long. I mean, so then when you become very familiar, then few, long. That's how the meditation has been done. So in the beginning, if you sit too long in the initial stage, if you sit long, so at the beginning, then you are kind of fresh, then you are slowly, you know. So then meditation become nap. So then one thing definitely I can guarantee you that what you are going to learn, for the beginner. So if you sit long time, so I will guarantee you one thing that you will learn, so how to take nap. Amazing. So you sleep on a very comfortable bed, heart cannot sleep. But no, here, like this, nowhere to lean, but the monks, we are expert. We are expert how to take a nap like this. When you look at them, they are not meditating, they are napping. You know, monastery is not like this, and everybody's packed. Everybody touching everybody, you know. Then can you imagine, especially like cold day, there's no heat, there's no air conditions, we are cold. Then, you know, kind of dark, you know, so 2 o'clock in the morning, prayer gathering. I have like now, he only passed away, I have one friend. So when he takes nap, you cannot tell he's meditating or he's napping, you cannot tell. He won't move at all. Like that, no? So that, a lot of practice. By sitting, a lot of the sitting, like every day, sitting a couple of hours here, the sitting. So then you learn most like uncomfortable position, the best nap. So then you know, if you are not very good, then you go like, it's amazing. Once you are like overpowered by sleep, you can't help like the scotches like that. So then all of a sudden, you know, there's lines and lines, because there's gap between lines, because to serve tea, you know, there's lines. Sometimes you just sleep over. You know, So if that happened to you, it will stop you to nap maybe at least a couple of months. See, so I will guarantee that you can learn how to take the very on the best nap. So therefore, so that you go like this, now then something will come up, come out, you know. So therefore it's better to short many. When you become familiar, then you are not going to fall asleep, because your meditation become very good, so then long, then short, you know. Okay, that's how the meditation has been done. So, and please, you know, you can do so many things, you know, you can sleep at home, but you choose to come here. So therefore, I feel moral responsibility to share whatever I know about meditations. I know, I feel like I should, at least I should explain. So then whether you do meditation or not is totally up to you. So at least I should explain. So the question that, you know, I ask myself often, you know, how often I think something positive. Not saying like how often I do say prayer every day. I say, you know, that's my daily prayer. I say prayer all the time. I'm not asking that questions. How often I think something positive. I could say prayer without thinking, you know. I could say prayer thinking something, you know. I could say Om Mani Padme Hum thinking something. I could say mantra thinking something. That's not really, you know, it's like, looks like form of spiritual practice, but it's not really spiritual practice because it's not benefiting my mind. It's not really benefiting. I'm just mumbling, you know, mumbling a few words here and there. So I ask myself, how often I think something positive? No, this is very critical. This is very, very important. So, in order to feel good, we have to think positive. Otherwise, you know, we are not going to feel good. No, not going to feel good. Everybody wants to feel good. Then, why? No, why we don't feel good? So we have to think something positive. You know, think something positive. Everybody, we all can think. No, but there has to be monk. That there has to be nun. That there has to be believer. We all capable to think something positive. Everybody thinks something positive, the world is going to be a better place, you know. So everybody become Buddhist, you know, doesn't guarantee. I don't think the world is going to be safer. I don't think. More church doesn't guarantee, more temple doesn't guarantee. More people become Buddhist, it doesn't guarantee. If everybody thinks something positive, if everybody practice compassion, if everybody practice loving kindness, yeah, definitely, world is going to be a safer place. See? So therefore, it's very, very important to learn how to think something positive, you know, think positive. So, what His Holiness the Dalai Lama, that's what he's, you know, trying to, whenever he give speech, public talk, he's not encouraging people to become Buddhist. He's encouraging people to think something positive, to become, and asking people to practice, you know, warm heart, you know, warm heart, to think big, you know, open your heart, regardless of, you know, like race, culture, tradition, belief, doesn't matter, you know. Everybody deserves loving kindness, compassion. Everybody, basic, when it's come down to fundamental, everybody same, physically, mentally, we are all human. We are all human. See, everybody, every day, everybody looking for some kind of happiness. In that regard, that we are, you don't have extra reason to, you know, be happier. In that regard, everybody is equal, everybody. So therefore, in the beginning, may all sentient beings, you know, not just may all American beings or Tibetan beings, may all sentient beings. So we are trying to have that kind of mindset. You know, may all living beings, may all living beings, all human. If you can't think all living beings, just think all human. May all human have happiness. So that mindset is beneficial. Wonderful. That's very powerful mindset. Very beneficial. Practically very beneficial. So, if everybody thinks, every one of us thinks, oh, may all living, all human has, have happiness, cause happiness. At least, if we cannot benefit, we are not going to harm any human beings. That's part of your wish, that you know, wish them to have happiness and cause happiness. That's what you're thinking. Isn't that wonderful? It's easy, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but you know, it can be done. But you know, we can't just give up, oh, it's too hard, you know. Then the exercise, you know, it's not easy. You know, so on the one hand, that you want good health, on the other hand, you don't want to do exercise, it's not like, you know, it's like that. See, how often we think something positive? Compassion, that's a positive thought. Loving kindness, that's a positive thought. Huh? These are the positive thoughts. Huh? When you're thinking about compassion, you are thinking something positive. You know? So, there are so many instructions. There are so many instructions how to do that. There are so many instructions how to do that. So therefore, as I mentioned earlier, some people, they are heavily rely on some kind of materials to do their meditations, because that materials guides you, you know, step by step, and you know how to think positive. What do you call lamrim? No, lamrim. Lam is the path, rim the state, stages of the path. So that you are, you know, guiding your mind to think something positive, step by step. So. But, you know, we don't have to do that, because think something positive. I'm saying, think something positive. Think something positive. Very, very important, think something positive. So, see, we talk about compassion, we talk about loving kindness, all of that, but how often we think? There's two different things. Talking about how often we think. So that's the real practice. How often we think? How often we think? Some people may say, you know, oh, that's very selfish. Yeah, if there's no selfish, nothing will accomplish, right? If there's no self-interest, is there a difference between self-interest and selfish? Is there a difference? Selfish, you know. So I really want to hear from you. Selfish, self-compassion, self-interest. If there's no self-interest, nothing will accomplish. Nothing will accomplish. No? Selfish. Of course, there's no... When you then think about like bodhicitta point of view, then some type of self-centered mind become, how do you say, become problems. Like, usually I explain that, you know, self-cherishing mind, according to the materials, that's what it says, self-cherishing mind. So it's more like this, an attitude. My way, highway, bad attitude, that kind of attitude. That's exactly what it means when they talk about self-cherishing mind, self-centered mind. They are talking about attitude, that kind of attitude. So then how long you can survive with that kind of attitude, my way or go away. You yourself is just one person. Others is just limitless. So can you survive with that kind of attitude with other people? Probably no. Practically no. Nothing to do with religions, belief, practice. Practically it's not going to work. It's not going to work. No. How is it? That means no compromise. No compromise. How is it? No compromise. See, attitude matters. Attitude. So that kind of attitude they're talking about when they, you know, explain about bodhicitta. So they are talking about that kind of attitude. You know? So selfish attitude, self-centered attitude, self-interest. It is necessary. Some Kadama master, they praise Jigsolatawa Sanjay doing, you know, this is a pillar in Latin, it's a pillar of everything. That's pillar, it's like center pillar of everything that you're going to build. That's going to be center pillar. If there's no center pillar, nothing to build, nothing to hold up. So that's the reason, no? So it's all comes down on Tana Lenam Samba Sangela. Positive karma, negative karma is dependent on positive thought or negative thought. Kana Lenam Samba Sangela. Samba Sana. If the mind is positive, did you say if the mind is Buddhist or non Buddhist? Did not say that. If the mind is positive, it did not say, okay, mine is Christian, Buddhist, Islam, doesn't say. Did Islam talk about, didn't say that. Karna lenam samba sangilas. Positive action, negative actions very much depend on positive mindset, on the negative mindset. Karna lenam samba sangilas. Samba sana. The mind is positive, if the mind is good, samba sana sata langa, then everything has become good. If the mind is good, everything has become good. If mind is okay, everything is okay. If mind is not okay, doesn't matter if you have $1 million, you are not okay. Oh, you may have big house, nice car. If your mind is not okay, you are not okay. If your mind is okay, then everything become okay. Sambasana 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 sambasana. Kana lena sambasangela sambasana 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 sambasana. So. Tamje samba dala rales. Tamje is all dependent on mind and attitude. Attitude. All dependent. Every day we have choice. We have choice. No, you can be positive or you can be entirely negative. So if you choose to become negative, there will be like negative impact on your health. No matter how many, you know, like medicine or supplement you take, no, there's going to be negative impact. So attitude does matter. So I have one story, so now I forgot, so anyway, maybe later. So please, you know, ask that, you know, question to yourself. How often I think something positive? That's very, very important, you know. If your mind is thinking something positive, then you are going to feel good. You're going to feel good. If you feel good, then everything will be okay. Even though, if you are living in the cave, have material-wise, you have nothing. Mental-wise, you are happiest persons on the planet. See? Just rely on material as a resource does not guarantee all the happiness. See, everybody, billionaire, millionaire, educated, uneducated, everybody has issues. Everybody issues that clearly proves that, you know, just material as a wealth does not guarantee happier life. You see, there's lot of, you know, people who has a lot of materials and looks very miserable. So it all comes down to mind. So then please, you know, asking that question yourself, you know, I myself do the same thing. If you ask, you know, how often we think something positive and how often we think something negative. So now you wonder, you know, why we are not happy. That's why we are not happy. Not because we are like not good. No, it's not like that. No, because we are not thinking something good, something positive. That's all. It's not like that. You are imperfect. You are not, you know, it's not every, all the gossip, all the story that we created by mind is not that. It's not like that. Simply, we are not thinking enough something positive. That's all. So that's why meditation is to think, to guide our mind to think something positive. To see something positive. Okay? So with that, so then I will probably, oh. So maybe now discussions, okay, about, see, I had the second class start, what? 10:45. I don't mind to sacrifice my break. I don't mind to sit here, you know, till the next class come up. So, but it's important. So if you are interested, so I'm very interested to hear from you. So what I want to hear from you is like, first, what is compassion? What is compassion? This is not quiz. So based on your feeling, your experience, please share what is compassion. So then after that, then what is self-compassion? Without compassion, without knowing compassion, you know, there's no self, there are these self-compassion. Then I don't know how to talk about self. So then how to develop self-compassion? What is required? What is compassion first? What is compassion? This is very important. Compassion is something good. It everybody enjoys. If you have compassion, everybody enjoys. Everybody around you, they enjoy, not just yourself. Even like bird, squirrels, no? They enjoy too, because they know that you are not going to harm them, no? What is compassion? Then self-compassion. Self-compassion. And how to develop. And what is required? What is required to develop compassion? What is required? So maybe divide the group to 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. So then, please, you know, share your result of your discussions, if you don't mind. Yeah. So here's the mic. Mike's the one who's climbing Colorado mountains. So he was enlightened by climbing Colorado mountains. Mike, people to share there.
Oh, sure.
Two mic on.
Three.
Yeah. Anybody want to share, please? Yeah.
I didn't want the mic. I just grabbing it for anybody who wants to speak.
I've been through hurt in my life and have been in worse times in my life, and now my life, I seem to be in a better place in life. Part of my thing with compassion is when I see somebody who's hurting or negative, is to remember that from my life and then try to recognize that just because they're negative or hurting doesn't it's not a reflection on them, but I can, I don't have to respond in kind. I can try to respond positive to them or supportive to them, and that way maybe bring them from that place to a better place, or help them, you know, see that that's not all there is.
Wonderful, thank you, wonderful, very good. Are everybody eager to hear? Yeah, it's kind of boring to hear from me all the time, so better to hear from someone else. I very much enjoy. Yeah.
All right, okay, Geshe. Mm-hmm. All right, so the definition of compassion, I shared it with these folks here, and I had shared it with Tendrin last week, and my father passed in February, as you know, and I was there with him in hospice for 2.5 days, holding his hand, laying next to him in bed, and it was about 12:30 in the morning when he started to take his last breath. So I watched him go from 18 all the way down to 6 and draw his last breath. He drew his last breath, and I was holding his hand, rubbing his arm, and he passed. And I waited about 5 minutes. And I looked at my mother, I was holding my father's hand, sitting on bed with him, looking at my mom, and I just woke her up. And I said, "Mom, he's gone." She goes, "He's gone?" I was like, "Yeah, he's gone." I said, "Come sit with him." So she sat with him. And that whole experience, I never was high, I never was low, I never felt sadness, I never felt joy. I just felt there was this equanimity. I just felt, you know, really blessed to be there with him. And I felt, you know, that I had, you know, a karmic debt had been served. So I can't define compassion, but I experienced it. To me, that was my experience with compassion. So I still can't give you a definition of it, but I can give you, I can share that. So that's what I know.
That's very profound. Therefore, I said you are only enlightened. Thank you, Mike. Wonderful. That's very good. You say you experience compassion, but you can't explain. Yeah. To anybody else, welcome to share. But without pressure. We are all friends, you know. As I said, you know, we are all Dhamma friends, you know. So don't think like, "Oh, I'm your teacher." I'm not your teacher. I'm just here explaining materials. That's all. So we are all just friends, Dhamma friends. You understand?
Well, you are my teacher. I really regard that highly.
So that's not good.
I'm sorry.
So we are all friends. We are all Dhamma friends. We are all here, come here together because, you know, of course I have more knowledge when it's come down to Buddhism, because I did study 35 years, the materials. So in that regard, I have no more knowledge. Doesn't mean I have more experience. So I don't have much experience. So, you know, here we come, I explain, so then we discuss. So I think that's much better. Yeah, so, Samula, you want to say, and all the venerable nuns, you want to say something? Yeah, Samula. Yeah. So maybe next time how to do, so maybe one of the nuns should ask. Maybe when I ask, very few people talk. I very much want to hear from you. So what do you think about, what do you think, what is compassion, you know? So probably more coming from a practical level than just coming from mere knowledge. See, my understanding of compassion is pretty much based on materials, you know, so that's what I study.
When I was flying to California, it was at night, and I saw, you know, I was at the window, so I could see all the lights of all the cities, and I thought about what you said about samsara, you never having an edge, you know, an end. You can never see the end of samsara. Is really powerful what you said. And it was just heartbreaking thinking about all the people down below and all the suffering and all their heartbreak. So it was terrible. But I didn't think about, you know, my problems, but I thought that it was just, I just didn't, it was overwhelming to think about how we were going to help all those people, all the beings down below, but we were flying over, and, you know, the people on the plane also, and all their misery and their problems. So I think maybe a little bit of that was just acknowledging their suffering, even though I really couldn't do anything for them. It really sort of re-evaluated my practice.
So that reminds me, you know, like that's called bodhisattva. So bodhicitta, that's the mind, you know, mind that thinks about well-being of other sentient beings, you know, day and night. So then when you generate that mind, then you become bodhisattva, you know, regardless whether you're man or woman, doesn't matter. Whoever generates that mind, and you are bodhisattva. So there's one bodhisattva called Tagdungu, means bodhisattva, ever weaving. Not depressed at all. No, like because, like, yeah, it is kind of overwhelming thinking about the complications. So here, you know, in from the Buddhist, scripture point of view, they are called suffering, but actually it's complication. It's not just suffering, doesn't mean, you know, it simply means complication. All the complications, you know, everybody go through all these complications. It's kind of overwhelming, you know. All kind of complications people go through. So that's, you know, nature of, you know, samsara, the nature of samsara. Everybody, you know, go through all kind of complications. So, and then, knowing that, that's why I was wondering, foundations for compassion. It's not just words, it's more, compassion is like feeling, right? It's a strong feeling. So to develop that, I was wondering, from your point of view, what is the foundation, you know? What is the foundations to develop compassion? So then, what's the foundations for universal compassion? There must be some foundation. So I was wondering, I'm very much interested to hear from you. So I don't think I have created enough karma to hear from you. So I have to work harder. what is the foundation? What is the definition of compassion? How you define compassion? So self-compassion. So last Sunday, some people, they talk about forgiveness. Something related to compassion, you know. So this is all that needs to, it's like puzzles, so we have to put together, you know, we need to put it together. Maybe there's something related to the forgiveness, maybe, you know, or self-compassion, all of that.
Geshe-la, I can give you one little piece.
No, time is over.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, that almost, yeah, just 10, 19, yeah.
The little pieces, when Hamola talked about being overwhelmed by seeing all the sufferings of other people, I think one of the pillars of compassion is self-compassion. And I mentioned how overwhelming it is for me to recognize how many times I am not compassionate towards myself. How often I do that during the day, and how overwhelming to recognize.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's very good. Please, next time when you talk to me, just talk to me like friend. Please don't think, oh, I'm your teacher. No, I'm not your teacher. I'm just here explaining the materials. So that's very good. So now I want to know, what is self-compassion?
The first step is, I'm saying the first step for me is becoming aware of all the ways that I do not treat myself with compassion. I have to become aware of that. And that's a lot of ways that I don't treat myself very well. It's a little overwhelming.
For me, self-compassion is that the idea of just trying to come to terms with who I am and accept all the flaws and accept all the delusions and headaches and everything out, the disturbances, and I find that if I can just generate that sense of I'm okay, and be nicer to myself, it always seems to manifest itself in relationships, in the way you can kind of go easy on other people, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything. You can't work on somebody else until you work on yourself. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, treating myself not well, so that is like conditions to develop self-compassion, that awareness, being aware that I'm not treating myself very well, is that the conditions to develop self-compassion?
Yes. It's like the ground, the fertile ground.
So now, what is self-compassion? What is self-compassion? This is not a quiz. Please don't think I'm examining you. No, no, no. I sincerely, genuinely want to know how you define self-compassion. So then we can discuss. Maybe the explanation that I will going to give to you from the Buddhist point of view may help improve. You know, so that's whole thing, nothing else, nothing more. No? So not being treating myself very well. So that's maybe like so when you say it in English, I'm thinking Tibetan. You know, like to translate it back to Tibetan.
Mm-hmm.
So like how that sounds when you say it in Tibetan.
Mm-hmm.
So now look, there's conditions. So now, what is self-compassion? Yeah, we just want to know from you. We just want to know. Maybe that. Please, you know. So
I don't know if I know the definition of self-compassion, but compassion seems to start with recognizing that others are suffering.
That's very good. That's exactly that's the same thing from the Buddhist point of view. That's the same. That's how you define compassion. Same from the Buddhist point of view. First, you have to. We have recognized that somebody is going through some difficulties. So that's the, then, please.
And so self-compassion, I would think, would begin with recognizing your own suffering.
So see, so that's exactly, so see, this is more from like practical, you know, like, it's not, I don't think, did you read the books, Tibetan books?
Huh? A little bit here and there.
About compassion?
Not about compassion.
See. So that's not, see, even though this young gentleman not seeing the materials about the definition of compassion, that is the definition of compassion. First, the ground that you have to understand, you have to have recognition that somebody is going through some difficulties. See, if that difficulty is the same as your difficulties, you already have like foundations to develop compassion to yourself because the same difficulties. Huh? So that Dunga kala, rangi miyu to chibi, dunga jina sinjin, rangi miyu to chibi means object. Object, no, that somebody is going through some difficulties. That's object. The rangi miyu to dunga jina sinjin la means, so now witnessing that, then after that what happens? Dunga the tandugi nabachin, that's the compassion. So then you develop this wish to free. No, that person from the difficulty, that is compassion. So then, to yourself, there's compassion. So that's very good, wonderful, that's very good. So that's exactly, that's no different than from the Buddhist point of view, the definition of compassion, that's no different. And you already said that before, no? He already said that a little bit. So that's wonderful. So then, you know, like, at least, practically, who knows? Maybe from like the material point of view, then I at least know. I thought, oh, maybe you understood, you know, compassion. That's good. No, that's good. It makes us kind of makes me happy because from the, that's how I understood compassion. So now, based on that, so now difficulties that we go through. So now that goes back to the Four Noble Truth. If you are aware, Four Noble Truth. So Buddha does not want you to, you know, Buddha has no intention to make you depressed. You know, why he taught of Four Noble Truth, out of Four Noble Truth, first to the suffering. Why Buddha want to talk of suffering? Because there's a way out. If you don't see a way out, thinking suffering, that's depressing. Why you think of suffering? If you have a strong interest to seek break from suffering, then it does make sense to think about suffering, no? So now, universal compassions. See, now the truth of suffering, that's complications, right? That's the way I explain complications. There's three different types of sufferings. So the last one is the foundation for universal compassions. The last one. The last one is the foundation for universal compassions. So then second and third, you know, like, you know, even animals also has, is not that big deal, you know, understanding of the first suffering, the second suffering, you know, everybody kind of understand here and there. But foundation of universal compassions is the last one. So you think about that. So then when you reflect on that, then you see everybody, not just you, everybody has problems. Doesn't matter how look they wear, how well they look, how well they eat, you know, how well they dress, what kind of education, what kind of position, what kind of wealth. Everybody has problems. Everybody. You know, everybody. As long as we are part of samsara, and life is going to be complicated. You know? Nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. That's what is called samsara. So then you experience that when you see someone else, then you develop real compassion, empathy. What you call empathy or compassion? You know, then that's like the not just that's like knowledge-based compassion. So there's real compassion. You know, with the deeper understanding of the compassion, then you develop compassion. That's the real compassion. So that's wonderful, yeah. Thank you very much. So gentlemen, you want to say something? Yeah. So then after that we'll stop. So maybe next class. What time? 10:45? Yeah.
In English, calm means with. So compassion, that part means with. So to me, compassion is actually a two-way street that we're in it together. So if I'm compassionate to you, there's also this giving back to me.
Yeah, definitely.
We're together.
Yeah.
So, when I look at sharing interests together, looking after my interests as well as your interest, like say the Four Noble Truths, I think the problem when I don't help myself is the difference, what you said today, of selfishness and self-interest. And that's what I have to think about this week, is what's the difference. Because if I'm selfish, then I don't feel good about myself. I feel guilty and bad about myself. But if I'm looking after my self-interest, then that should be a good thing. And so that's what thank you for that today.
Oh, wonderful. That's good. That's also good for me too. Selfishness. My English is still not that, even being 15 years here, but it's still, my English, I'm also, when I first came here, I don't have gray hair. So there's now less lot of gray hair. So same time, my English is also having gray hair. So it's not getting better.
What is the word in Tibetan for compassion?
Ninje. So I name my cat Ninje, and people there is like ninja. So they call ninja. So I said, no ninja, Ninje. Ninje, look at my cat, now she passed away, Ninje, compassion. Ninje, when someone says Ninje, that means you feel empathy. You feel empathy. You want to do something. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, have a nice weekend. Sadi Deva, Hamula Sadi Deva.
So in the Gold Prayer Book, if you would turn to page 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome pears bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain to dispel the misery of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Thank you. Bless you.